We count it as a great privilege to be able to come together as a church family today to worship our God, to spend time in His Word, to spend time in prayer, and most importantly, to spend time around a table so we remember the cross and resurrection of our Savior. Because of these things, we do indeed shout hallelujah. For those of you who are visiting with us, we want you to know that you honor us with your presence here today. We ask that you, if you haven't before, fill out a guest card so that we can contact you and let you know in a personal way how much we appreciate you being here. Also, make yourself available so we can greet you and talk with you. There are out in the foyer, on the table out there, there are welcome packets. These packets give a good idea of what we're about as a congregation, so I want to encourage you to pick up one of those after our service today. Also, at the conclusion of our service, there will be some elders that will be available in the back of our auditorium. Please feel free to approach them, talk with them, let them know what's going on in your heart. We desire to be a church family that demonstrates genuine Christian hospitality. I'd like to read from Psalm 18. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. Let's continue our worship. That was good. Should say make Rob more nervous, because as I've been talking about marriage these last few weeks, it's been a little bit nerve-wracking, but that was good. So before we get into the sermon for this morning, I have several congregational notes I'd like to share with you. The first one is, please continue to pray for those families that are hurting right now because of the loss of loved ones. I want to specifically mention the Holbrook family. As many of you know, Spencer Holbrook, just 19 years old, passed away last week. Spencer is the brother-in-law of Ryan Morrow. Of course, Ryan is a son of Mark and Glenda Morrow. Had the funeral service for him here in this room yesterday. I'm not sure how many people were here. I'd say at least 400 were here. Whit did that funeral, and I want to commend Whit for the grace and the wisdom that he demonstrated as he conducted that funeral service for a 19-year-old young man. So let's continue to pray for the Holbrook family, the Morrow family, and others as they mourn the loss of Spencer. Also, continue to pray for the Clement family. I appreciate Ken mentioning the Clement family. Kathy lost her sister last week. Also, the Sunday family, the loss of Dot, the passing of Dot. And also the Clifford family, as Tom passed away about a couple of weeks ago now. So a lot of families that are grieving the loss of loved ones right now. And so please bring those family to the Lord as you pray. Ladies' Day is coming up. So kind of changing gears here a little bit. Ladies' Day is coming up on March 4th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can talk to Debbie Pinnock about that. We appreciate, I know there's a whole crew of ladies that are working on getting that great event set up and planned. You can talk to Debbie about that. You can sign up for that online and invite friends to this. I know Sarah's been thinking about a couple of the young ladies that are neighbors of ours, about inviting them to come. And so we've got that coming up. Also, Higher Ground is coming up, both for the men and for the women. The men's is in late March. The women's in early April. You can talk to the Bettises about that. Also, today we have Monty Tuttle with us. He is a representative from Eastern European Missions. I know a lot of you are familiar with that important ministry. Incredible work for the sake of the gospel is taking place in that part of the world. They have a dinner that's coming up this Saturday. Here in just after our service, Monty is going to be available in the foyer. You can talk to him about questions or thoughts. Perhaps you know some folks that are involved with EEM, so you can make a contact point there. Monty, would you go ahead and stand for us, please? So this is Monty. Appreciate you being with us today, Monty. Again, he'll be available in the foyer afterwards if you have any questions or concerns or thoughts for him. So we're going to continue to talk about marriage. And it's interesting when we talk about a topic like this, because when we have a group of this size, we have a lot of different stories represented. And I get that. So we have those of you here who have been married for 50 years, and I'm thinking you should be the ones that are teaching on marriage, not me. I've been married for 8 years. We have those that have been married for 1 year here, 1 or 2 or 3 years. We have those who have never been married, or those who are widows, or those who are divorced. Some of you, marriage is not even on your radar at this point. And your parents are glad about that. And even the idea of marriage right now is just like, what's that? Or no way, never going to happen, something like that. And so we have lots of different life stages and stories that are represented in a group of this size. Now, I'll admit that these sermons are geared primarily for married folks, but I do believe that they're helpful for all of us. Here are a few reasons why. The one is, you might get married. And so perhaps these teachings, these principles, these truths can be stowed away in the back of your mind to be accessed at another time. Or you can be an encouragement to those who are married. For those of you who are married, you know that you could use some encouragement. Or many of these principles, these truths, these teachings that we're talking about go beyond marriage. They're helpful for life in general. I think you'll see that with what we talk about today. And another thing, if you're part of this church family, then you desire or should desire for marriages to be healthy. Generally speaking, the healthier the families within the church, the healthier the church family, and vice versa. And so marriage health is helpful, and it's important to the vitality of the body in general. So all of us, no matter where we are in life, should be cheerleaders. This is becoming a problem. And part of it is I like to talk with my hands, but I need these. All right, so we will see where this goes. Now, I know something you don't know, and that is that they're all numbered. So, because this has happened before, like I just mentioned to you. All right. So if you need the prayers of the assembly or are ready, no, I'm just kidding. So I'll get this in right order. That was page 8. So if you love an awkward pause, you're getting it right now. So congrats on that. All right. Get these things in order. Good. All righty. I think I might start stapling them or something. You think I would have thought about this. Okay. Don't really remember where I was for sure, but I'm going to start here. For those of you who are married, how's your marriage? Healthy? Unhealthy? Needing a checkup? Needing surgery? Needing some medicine? How's your marriage for those of you who are married? Now, here's the deal. None of us have reached the finish line. Maybe we thought that we got to the finish line, but you're still breathing. You haven't reached the finish line yet. perhaps for some of you, as we've been thinking about marriage and discussing it and looking at the Word to help us to understand what marriage is all about, perhaps for some of you, the Spirit is moving and saying, we need to have some conversations. We need to pray about this. We need to get to work on this. That has been my prayer. And actually, as I've been thinking about this and preparing these lessons, that's one thing that I've seen with my own marriage. That it needs prayer. It needs the Spirit to work in it. It needs guidance. And so I want us to think about that as we start, is where is your marriage? How is it doing? This isn't just some lesson series to say, hey, we've talked about marriage in our church. That's not what this is about. This is about you. This is about your marriage. This is about your relationship with your spouse. How's your marriage? Think back to your wedding day. If you can think back that far for some of you. I mean that as a compliment. On the wedding day, you have expectations, right? So, you might be thinking about where you're going to live, what your job's going to be, so how you're going to earn an income. You think about how your husband is going to act. You think about whether you're going to have kids or not. You think about how you're going to recreate, what you're going to do for fun. Are you going to be able to continue to experience the things that you've experienced in life? Maybe it's with hobbies or listening to music or going to watch movies. So you've got these expectations, and most of the time they're pretty high, right? You're just ready. You're just excited. You think it's going to be incredible. But what happens on your wedding day is you don't receive just this ideal marriage. You wake up the next morning and you realize that although the expectations might be high, you are marrying, as we mentioned last week, a sinful, self-centered person. And guess what? You are a broken, sinful, self-centered person. And so what you get on the next day, or maybe even in that moment that you come together sharing those vows with one another, what you get is you get this. You might be expecting just this whole big picture, but at the beginning what you get is a piece of the puzzle. And from there, then, you are going to build something. You're hopefully going to put these pieces together, and you are going to build a beautiful picture of marriage. That's the hope. This is going to take time. This is going to take making some mistakes, gaining wisdom through experience, we might say. This is going to take some incredible love, compassion, and forgiveness to put the pieces together to build a beautiful marriage. And so the guiding question for our sermon this morning is, what can we do to faithfully build this marriage? What can we do? Very simple. What can we do to build this marriage? What we might say is a God-honoring kind of marriage. What's it going to take? And the way that I'd like for us to think about this, building a faithful marriage, I want to think about it in two questions and one statement. Before processing this question, though, I want to remind us of a couple things that we talked about 2 weeks ago. The first is that marriage is for God and it's from God. And so as we think about that, it's initiated by God. We are called into this relationship by God, and then it's for God. It's about bringing Him praise and honor and glory. And so there's two kind of metaphors I'd like for us to think about as we think about marriage. And we go ahead and get this picture up. The one on the top is a little bit hard to see, is a laboratory. So marriage is a place in which we develop into people that bring God honor. That's the first one. The second one is a lighthouse. Marriage is this relationship in which we allow Christ to shine through us, making an impact on the world. A laboratory, a place where we grow. A lighthouse, a place in which we shine. And building this strong marriage, it's important because of exactly this. We all need growth, right? We all need to grow. And all of us, I would hope, thinking of Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16, all of us would hope to be lights in the dark world. And the truth is that marriage can be a vehicle in which those two things happen, which we grow to become more like Jesus, and which we shine. So back to our question, how do we build this marriage? I want to say this first. Jesus in John 15, verse 5 says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you can bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So let's start there. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Want to build a marriage that brings God honor, that is a lighthouse for the light of Jesus? It begins with this. Apart from Christ, you can do nothing. If we want to build a strong marriage, the first question that I think is so vital in this relationship is, how may I serve you? The other day, Arnie Elkins and I were talking in the foyer, and he mentioned that back home, I think it was in Alabama, his preacher there preached a sermon on this question, how may I help you? And he said, it was so simple, but yet so profound. How may I serve you? How may I help you? And I think when it comes to our marriage relationship, it is a simple yet profound question. How may I serve you? Think of Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 11. Listen to these words of Paul. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, or think of others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage or something to be grasped. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So Paul says, look to the interest of others. And this applies in a very powerful way to our own marriages. It's not about me, but it's about we. It's not simply about my own interests, my own desires, what I want to get, how I think it should be, my own expectations, but it's about serving my spouse, demonstrating genuine care for my spouse. And Paul says, your attitude, your mindset, the way that you look at others, including that one that you share the house with and share the bed with, your attitude, the way you look at them should be like this. Jesus, being in very nature God, didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. And he served. He lowered himself to the point of not only washing the disciples' feet, we talk about often, but also giving his life as a ransom for many on the cross of Calvary. That's how your attitude should be. That should be your mindset. And so you think about your marriage. When it comes to chores, when it comes to travel plans, when it comes to how to parent your children, when it comes to how to approach what takes place in the bedroom, all of this, how may I serve you? What are your interests? What are your needs? What do you desire? How may I serve you? Paul, in another place, a place that we've already looked today, Ephesians chapter 5, he says this to husbands. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So Jesus, he redefines manliness, right? That's what he's doing here. He's redefining how to be a husband. It's not about a power and authority. It's not about bullying or pushing around. It's about giving up one's life. And it says, he did this in order to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. And so Jesus said, the cross and the resurrection, it paves the way for our baptism, for our forgiveness, for the hope that we have. It paves the way for us to be clean and forgiven in the eyes of God. It comes because of Jesus' love for the church. He's the pioneer of this hope that we have. It says in verse 27, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. To the church, you and me, our hope, our purity, our salvation, it comes because of the love of Jesus ultimately demonstrated on the cross. Husbands, this is what Paul is saying. Husbands, this is how we're to love our wives. And when we do this, we make her beautiful. We make her pure. We honor her. We serve her. Now, this passage gets a lot of fanfare because of what it says to wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. But let's not forget the kind of husband that she is called to submit to. She's called to submit to the husband who is submitted to the risen Lord. The husband who is submitted to a way of life that is about serving and giving himself up for others. Husbands, submit to Jesus. Wives, submit to husbands who have submitted to Jesus. How may I serve you? How may I care for you? What do you need? It's a revolutionary question, although it's so simple. The second question is this: what can I be praying for in your life? Paul says in Ephesians 6, verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And so, husbands, be the prayer warrior for your wife. Wives, be the prayer warrior for your husband. Daily taking each other before the throne of God. Imagine that you're driving to California. I don't know why you'd want to, but imagine that you're driving to California. You're in the desert, and all of a sudden, so you're pushing the gas pedal, the car's not really going too fast. As a matter of fact, it keeps slowing down. You turn off the AC. You turn off the radio. You're doing all you can. Oh man, I need to get to a gas station. I need to get to it quickly. You're hoping that there's a little bit of a wind behind you, kind of pushing you on your way, and you see a sign along the road that has, you know, it's one of those that mentions what's coming up in the next stop. There's a McDonald's. There's a Chick-fil-A. No gas station. Oh, no. What are we going to do? How are we going to get any farther without any gas? It just goes through your mind. I can't go any further. not going to make it. I want us to think about prayer in that way. So marriage without prayer is like a car without gasoline. When was the last time that you prayed for your spouse? Praying bold prayers for your spouse. When have you, it's the last time you just simply prayed for your marriage. God, hold us together. God, use us as a lighthouse to shine for the purposes of the kingdom. God, use our marriage to help us to grow more and more into the image of Jesus, using our marriage as a laboratory of love and discipleship. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your marriage. Pray specifically about it. Ask your spouse, okay, things are hard at work right now. Look your spouse in the eye and say, I'm going to be praying about stuff at work. Things are tough with family. I'm going to be praying for your situation with your family members. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your marriage. Think of Ron and Doris Beaver. Knew them in Oklahoma City. He's an elder in the church and also a professor at Oklahoma Christian. He'd wake up every morning, he'd take out the directory, and he'd pray for every member of the congregation on a daily basis. And guess what else he was praying for? He was praying for his marriage. And what I saw in Ron and Doris was a couple shining brightly for Jesus. And it made an impact on me. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your marriage. So those are the two questions. How may I serve you? And what can I be praying for? And now, a statement. Before I mention that statement, I want to read from Ephesians 4, 31 through chapter 5 and verse 2. And perhaps from this passage, you can guess what the statement is going to be. Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 31. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The statement is three words: I forgive you. And so we can get filled up with bitterness, rage, anger, and malice. And what happens is we're filled up with these. There is a big wall that's built up. Could be within the Christian community. Could be within your marriage. This wall is built up and it divides something that Satan loves, right? God's people divided. Just as that wall is built up with anger, rage, brawling, slander, and malice, so with compassion, with grace, with forgiveness, with kindness, that wall can be broken down. And those who were divided are brought back together. I forgive you. And the standard for forgiveness here is ridiculous. What's the standard of forgiveness in this passage? As Christ forgave you. Or as God forgave you through Christ. So forgiveness, it doesn't just flow to us. And we're so thankful it does flow to us, right? That's our hope. That's our salvation. But it also flows through us. So just as we have received that forgiveness from God through Christ, so desperately needing it, not deserving, but so desperately needing it, so it flows through us to others, the brothers and sisters in Christ, to those who do not know Christ, and to our husband or our wife. And as we offer that kind of forgiveness, the forgiveness that we have received from God through Christ, so those walls are broken down
and that picture, those puzzle pieces, are put together. And here's the reality. I think we all know this. I'm learning this. But the people that we love the most oftentimes will hurt us the most and oftentimes be that source of anger and frustration. But we also know that those are the people that bring us the greatest amount of joy as well. And so it's very important that we are continually planting seeds of forgiveness, grace, and compassion, because we know that those seeds of anger and malice and brawling, those things that Paul listed, they can just grow up. So we need to kind of choke those out, if you will. And there's a saying, I don't have it listed here, but there's a saying that goes along with this one. And I'm reminded of what Paul says in Romans chapter 12. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. And so a phrase that goes with I forgive you is, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That in itself can be that gentle answer that destroys wrath. None of us here are perfect. Therefore, a phrase like I'm sorry ought to be on our tongues from time to time. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I wronged you. I'm sorry I said that. I'm sorry I did this. I'm sorry I looked at you that way. And then I forgive you. And I realize this isn't all pie in the sky. It's like not all pretty how this works. Believe me, I realize that. But these kind of words, I forgive you, I'm sorry, how can I serve you? These are powerful tools for building a strong marriage. I think these kind of questions and these kind of phrases, I don't think Satan likes them much, because they break down walls and they bring us together. And so, your wedding day, you were expecting something all together, but what you got was a piece. And as we learn to say things like, I forgive you, and ask questions like, how can I serve you? What can I be praying for? We start putting these pieces together. And as we do this, ultimately, what I believe we're doing, we're putting together a picture of the love of Christ. We're putting together a picture of joy, mission, love, compassion, kindness, putting together a picture of the gospel. Are you ready for your marriage to be a lighthouse, the love and light of Jesus? Are you ready for your marriage to be a laboratory in which you grow more and more into the image of Jesus? I hope you're ready for that. I believe God's design for marriage, God's hope for marriage. If there's anybody here that's struggling, needs the prayers of the church family, perhaps it has to do with your marriage, we're here to pray with you and for you. As I say so often, I mean this, we're in this together. So we want to be a people that pray for one another, that champion one another, that walk alongside each other. And so please be willing to share what's going on in your life so that we can pray with you or for you. Perhaps today or tonight you need to get together, your husband or your wife, and you need to talk and you need to pray. Do that. Please do that. So here in a moment, Ray is going to lead us in an invitation song. If you'd like to come forward and let us know what's on your heart, we will pray with you today, and we'll continue to pray for you. If there's anybody here today that is ready to give your life to Jesus in baptism, oh man, we would love to witness you do that. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and continue to worship our God.